Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Cool. Well, hey, we're pumped that you're here with us this morning, and we are. We're starting a brand new series entitled Think Different. So if you're a first-time guest, you couldn't have picked a better Sunday, because what we do is we typically take a topic and we'll just dig into that for a number of weeks, and we are starting off this week by thinking optimistic after the Buckeyes lose late last night, right? So this message couldn't come at a better time, right? Unless you're a Michigan fan, and then, but hey, we won't even talk about that. But this week is going to be, it's going to be a five-week series where we're really going to go and we're going to dig into how we can change our mindset, how we can change our thought process to really go into what God desires us to think like, and how God desires us how really to react, think, and go through life as well. So next week, we are going to be talking about generosity. Week three, we're going to talk about encouragement. And then week four, we're going to be talking about gratitude. And then what we're going to do through this is we're really just going to let God kind of transform our lives and our thought process. Because a lot of how we live, a lot of how we react, it starts with how we think. And it's going to be a really great series. I'm pumped for this as well, because I think if you look around, I think there's kind of this epidemic of negative thinking. I think we just kind of get trapped in these negative thoughts, especially now, like when the Buckeyes lose, obviously you can think negative. During this election season, it's crazy, right? It's easy just to get wrapped up in all the negative things that go around. So today, my goal is to lay a foundation to change our thought process from negativity to really change it so that we can be optimistic. And here's what I want you to walk away with today. If you get nothing else, get this. We are not optimistic based on what we feel. We're optimistic based on what God says. We're not optimistic based on what we feel. We're optimistic based on what God says, right? Our thoughts shouldn't be based just on our feelings. Our thoughts shouldn't be based just on our experiences. Our thoughts shouldn't be based just on the things that we go through and that we go through each and every day. Our outlook shouldn't be based just on those things. It should be based on the truth. It should be based on what God says. And we're not optimistic based on what we feel. We're optimistic based on what God says. I think we listen to other things more than we listen to God. If we're honest with ourselves, if we look at our lives, we listen to other things more than we listen to God, right? We place ourselves in areas, we place ourselves in situations where we're hearing more from the outside sources than we are from God. And if you look all over the world today, I think really people are looking for a reason to be critical. They're looking for a reason to be negative. And it's a trap I think we can find ourselves in as well. I think sometimes it almost feels better. We feel good about ourselves if we can point out the negative and other things. If we can think with this negative mindset, sometimes it makes us feel better in ourselves. But what happens is we get into this trap. And we all of a sudden, we kind of fall into all this negative talking that we do, maybe even self-talk as well. Before you know it, you can get trapped into this where you're telling yourself, you know what, man, I don't have what it takes. All of a sudden, you believe the lie. You're thinking like, man, my life stinks, right? I can't stand where I am and my life. And literally, we can say that over and over and over again, and we almost talk ourselves into having a bad life. You talk to people all over the world today, they're going to comment on the negative things. You might hear things like, you know, the economy's doomed, it's gone into a tank, everything's just terrible right now, right? The morals of people today, man, they're just ridiculous, it's falling apart. The school systems are terrible, right? The government's out to get us all. It's all conspiracy, right? The leaders of this country, they're a hot mess, and it's only going to get worse. Like, look at the people we have to choose from president. Like, you can't trust anybody. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, and you're thinking, like, you just hear this. You hear doom, 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 gloom, gloom, gloom. And the truth is, there is some crazy things out there. There's some things that are just, like, not right, and there's no doubt about it. And as followers of Jesus, we can't just put our heads in the sand and ignore it. We can't pretend like nothing's happening. But at the same time, God is doing some amazing things all over the world. While there's so many things going wrong, there's so many things going right as well. But are we looking for those things going right? I think too many times we seek out the negative. And there's a principle that kind of holds true whether we're seeking out the negative or the positive, and it's this. We will often find what we're looking for. We will often find what we're looking for. I mean, think about it. How many of you guys have ever like bought a new car or a new to you car? And you bought it off, they took it off the lot, and you're thinking, like, man, this thing is unique. Like, I've never seen anybody have this car before. Like, it's a unique car. You drive off the lot, and the next thing you know, you see 15 of the exact same year, exact same color, exact same model, right? That's because it's what you're looking for. Now, listen, I drive an F-150, so I knew that I wasn't going to be unique. We live in Newark, Ohio, and let's just say we're a little bit hillbillies, and we like that. But there's cars, thing, we get these things where we find out what we're looking for, and the same thing happens in our mind. When we're looking for situations in our mind, whether positive or negative, we're going to find it. And Scripture actually teaches this very same principle. In Proverbs 11:27, it says this. It says, whoever looks for good will find kindness, but whoever looks for evil will find trouble. Whoever looks for good will find kindness, but whoever looks for evil will find trouble. Listen, if you want to look for the negative, if you want to look for the bad things around, if you want to be miserable, you can seek after it, you can search for it, and you can find it. But if you want to look for the good, you can also find that as well. But too many things, I think we just fall into this trap of looking to the negative. In fact, we may have even done this morning at church, right? When you drove in here, you're thinking, man, I didn't like the way that guy in the yellow vest was waving at me, right? He just... What's his deal, right? You're like, man, I can't believe they make us wear name tags around here. This is just crazy. The music's too loud. The lights are weird. This guy's wearing a pair of Chuck Taylors while he's preaching. It's crazy. Like, what is he doing, right? I think sometimes we could look for negativity. We could look for something wrong. And when we're doing that, we hear that, and that's what we speak into our lives. The things that we allow into our lives really changes how we think. And we need to allow God's word in our lives. God's word needs to go over any of our feelings. It needs to be over any of our thoughts. It needs to be over anything that's around us, the people around us. We need to listen to God over all those things. And we just need that general reminder where we continually remind ourselves that we are not optimistic based on what we feel. We are optimistic based on what God says. I'm not optimistic based on a feeling. I'm optimistic based on truth. And if our thought process was based on this, if our thought process was based on what God says, it would transform our families. It would transform our careers. It would transform our relationships. It would make an incredible impact, and really in our marriages. It's making an incredible impact in our relationships with our kids, with our friends, with everybody that we're around. Rather than focusing on the negative, we would see where God is truly working in our lives, and we could be optimistic about what He has for us in the future. We are not optimistic based on what we feel. We are optimistic based on what God says. So to be optimistic and to think different, what we have to do is we have to live out what God says. So that's my two action steps today. They're real simple, real quick and easy so we can put this into practice. And number one is this. We need to know what God says. And then number two, we need to think based on it. Easy enough, right? We can all close up and we can go out and we can just walk away knowing that, right? Know what God says and think based on it. But before I let you go, I want to dig into what God truly says about us. I want you to walk away knowing what God says about you so you can be optimistic. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a whole entire chapter of the Bible today. So get ready. Woe is right. Get ready to live. But we're going to read a whole entire chapter of the Bible today. So if you're here, get your Bibles out and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. It will not be up on the screen because there's probably too much words and you're going to just go crazy. So pull out your Bible apps if you have them. If you don't have a Bible, I would challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Again, we push this every week. It's an incredible resource that you can take the Bible with you wherever you go. But we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. And the book of Romans was written by a guy named Paul. And who Paul was? Paul was a guy who persecuted Christians. Like, he was direct opposition with Christians for the beginning part of his life. But then he had this experience with God. He had this crazy experience with God that changed everything. And then when he had that experience, he was blinded, but then he got his sight back, and then he basically started churches all over the world back then. And he wrote most of the New Testament. And in this passage of Scripture, here's Paul, and he's writing to us, really sharing the greatest expression of God's incredible love. It's really a representation of how God chooses upon His own will to bless us. And it's an incredible foundation for all of us, for our thought process, and for us to think optimistic. So if you would follow with me, Romans chapter 8, and just a heads up, if it sounds different, I'm reading from the New Century Version. But Romans chapter 8 says this. So now, those who are in Christ Jesus are not judged guilty. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that brings life made you free from the law that brings sin and death. The law was without power because the law was made weak by our sinful selves. But God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son to earth with the same human life that others use for sin. By sending His Son to be an offering for sin, God used a human life to destroy sin. He did this so that we could be the kind of people the law correctly wants us to be. Now, we do not live following our sinful selves, but we live following the Spirit. Those who live following their sinful selves think only about things that their sinful selves want. But those who live following the Spirit are thinking about the things the Spirit wants them to do. If people's thinking is controlled by the sinful self, there is death. But if their thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. When people's thinking is controlled by the sinful self, they are against God because they refuse to obey God's law and really are not even able to obey God's law. Those people who are ruled by their sinful selves cannot please God. But you are not ruled by your sinful selves. You are ruled by the Spirit. And if that Spirit of God really lives in you, but the person who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. Your body will always be dead because of sin. But if Christ is in you, then the Spirit gives you life because Christ made you right with God. God raised Jesus from the dead, and if God's Spirit is living in you, He will also give life to your bodies that die. God is the one who raised Christ from the dead, and He will give life through His Spirit that lives in you. So my brothers and sisters, we must not be ruled by our sinful selves or live the way our sinful selves want. If you use your lives to do wrong things your sinful selves want, you will die spiritually. But if you use the Spirit's help to stop doing the wrong things you do with your body, you will have true life. The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. The Spirit we received does not make us slaves again to fear, but it makes us children of God. And with that Spirit, we cry out, Father. And the Spirit Himself joins with our spirits to say, we are God's children. If we are God's children, we receive blessings from God together with Christ. But we suffer as Christ suffered, so that we will have glory as Christ has glory. The sufferings we have now are nothing compared to the great glory that will be shown to us. Everything God made is waiting with excitement for God to show His children's glory completely. Everything God made was changed to become useless, not by its own wish, but because God wanted it, and because all along there was this hope that in everything God made, it would be set free from ruin to have the freedom and glory that belong to God's children. We know that everything God made has been waiting until now in pain, like a woman ready to give birth. Not only the world, but we also have been waiting with pain inside us. We have the Spirit as the first part of God's promise. So we are waiting for God to finish making us His own children, which means our bodies will be made free. We were saved and we have this hope. And if we see what we're waiting for, that's not really hope. People do not hope for something they already have, but we are hoping for something we do not have yet. And we are waiting for it patiently. Also, the Spirit helps us with our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself speaks to God for us, even begs God for us with deep feelings that words cannot explain. God can see what is in people's hearts, and He knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit speaks to God for His people in the way God wants. We know that in everything, God works for the good of those who love Him. They are the people He called because that was His plan. God knew them before He made the world, and He chose them to be like His Son so that Jesus would be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. God planned for them to be like His Son. And those He planned to be like His Son, He also called. And those He called, He also made right with Him. And those He made right, He also glorified. So what should we say about this? If God is for us, no one can defeat us. He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him for us all, so that with Jesus, God would surely give us all things. Who can accuse the people God has chosen? No one, because God is the one who makes them right. Who can say God's people are guilty? No one, because Christ Jesus died, but He was also raised from the dead, and now He's on God's right side, appealing to God for us. Can anything separate us from the love Christ has for us? Can troubles or problems or sufferings or hunger or nakedness or danger or violent death? As is written in the Scriptures, for you, we are in danger of death all the time. But people think we are worth no more than sheep to be killed. But in all these things, we are completely victorious through God, who showed His love for us. Yes, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor ruling spirits, nothing now, nothing in the future, no powers, nothing above us, nothing below us, nor anything else in the whole world will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let's take a deep breath. That's a whole chapter, guys. We got through a whole chapter. And that chapter, there's so much information in that. And I'll challenge you this. I would challenge you to go back, reread through that this week, maybe every morning, start off your day reading this, because this is powerful. Imagine if we took some of the truths in this and applied this to our lives. Think about how this could help really make us think different. Think about how this could make us think optimistic. This passage could change the way we think, right? So I challenge you to go back to it. I'm going to give you some truths today. I'm just going to give you 8 things that jumped out of me, but there's so much more than 8. But I'll give you 8 things that maybe just start off your week so that you can think optimistic. So maybe write some notes down. If one of these jumps out to you, think upon it so that you can change the way you think and you can think different. But reason number 1 is this. There is freedom in Jesus. There's freedom in Jesus. We are forgiven of our sins. We're no longer slaves to our sins. We don't have to live by the law of sin and death, but we can live by the law of the Spirit when there's freedom in that. It starts off saying this, Romans 8, 1 through 2, it says, so now those who are in Christ Jesus are not judged guilty. We're free, right? And through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that brings life made you free from the law that brings sin and death. Listen, for those of us who've called on Jesus, who've made a commitment to follow Jesus, we've been made new in Christ, and our sins are forgiven, and we have some security in eternity because we are not judged guilty. And I will know when I think about that for my own life, listen, I've been forgiven of a lot. Like, I've been set free from a lot. And that makes me incredibly optimistic. There's a lot that I could be judged guilty upon, but I've been set free from that. I've been set free from that, and I can be optimistic because of that. I'm optimistic because of that He already did this for me. So, man, if He's done that for me already, He's got even greater things planned. Right? If God gave His only Son to live a perfect life for me, for you, then His Son died on a cross to pay a penalty that we should pay, right? That we deserve to pay. He's given us that mercy and then rose again and gave us new life. That's a reason to be optimistic. There's freedom in Jesus. Our sins are forgiven, and our eternity is secure if we decided to follow Him. So we can be optimistic because of that. Number 2, we can be optimistic because our mind is filled with the peace of God. When we follow Christ, our mind is filled with peace and life. If you go to verse 6 here, it says, if people's thinking is controlled by the sinful self, there is death. But if their thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there's life and peace. Listen again, to those of you who've made a commitment to follow Jesus, you don't have to be dominated by your past. You don't have to be dominated with the thought process of your sins, the mess-ups, the things that you've done wrong. You don't have to be dominated by any type of darkness. You don't have to be dominated by the fear of death. You don't have to be dominated by the destruction of those things. But you can have life, you can have your mind renewed, and you can have peace. God renews our mind to help us stop thinking on these negative, earthly, sinful thoughts. And He changes our perspective. Listen, we can be in the worst situation. We can be going through some part of life that is completely terrible. But if we have God, and if we're led by the Spirit, if we're living by the Spirit, we can have peace in the middle of it. Some of you guys maybe even experienced this, or you've seen somebody where they're going through a situation, and you're thinking, like, how in the world are they even making it, right? people have even asked you that before. You're like, how are you even like, how are you even breathing right now? How are you not just crawled up in bed in the fetal position crying? All you can say is, you know what, I have peace. Like, I don't know. It's not really me. It's because you can be led by the Spirit, and we all have access to that. We need to understand that God has allowed our minds to be filled with life and peace. And when we're governed by the Spirit and not by the flesh, we can think different and we can be optimistic. Number three is our future victory is greater than our present pain. Our future victory is greater than our present pain. We can be optimistic because whatever we're going through, God is going to use that so that we can experience something even greater. God is going to use each of our current situations to help sharpen us, to help conform us to be more and more like Him so that we can experience the victory in Jesus. Our future victory is greater than our present pain. 8:18 says this. It says, the sufferings we have now are nothing compared to the great glory that will be shown to us. The sufferings we have now are nothing compared to the great glory that will be shown to us. And listen, I know many of you, you're going through something pretty significant right now. I know many of you guys might be right in the middle of a trial. You're walking through the fire, walking through this tough time, and you're thinking like, man, I don't get it. But listen, it's going to get better. You can understand this. And this is Paul speaking. Paul's actually saying this. And Paul, if you don't know anything about his background as a Christian, he was a guy who basically went through every hardship that anybody can endure, right? He was a guy who was beaten. He was a guy that was imprisoned. He was a guy that was shipwrecked. He was a guy that was whipped. He was left for dead. They, in fact, thought he was dead, and they just left him there at one time, right? He was snake-bitten. He was tortured. He was all this. And he's saying that the sufferings we have now are nothing compared to the great glory that will be shown to us. Maybe you're here today and your circumstances are rough, right? And maybe it's got you thinking negatively. Maybe it's even placing you in a situation where your thoughts, you're even in like this darkness. Your situations are difficult, but listen to what Paul says. He's saying, think with an eternal perspective. He's saying, what you're going through right now, it's not even worth comparing to what the glory is going to be revealed to you later. He's saying, God is greater than your pain. God is greater than any situation you're going through. God is greater than any struggle you have. His glory is beyond anything you can imagine. And we can think differently because of that. We can think optimistic because our God is good and the future victory is greater than our present pain. We're not optimistic based on what we feel, but we're optimistic based on what God says. Then number four, God's Spirit helps us in our weakness. God's Spirit helps us in our weakness. We can be optimistic because when we're weak, that's when God is working the most. That's when He is strong. That's when He can intervene and allows Him to intervene in our lives to make us strong as well. Romans 8:24 through 26 says, we were saved and we have this hope. If we see what we're waiting for, that's not really hope. People do not hope for something they already have, but we're hoping for something we do not have yet, and we're waiting for it patiently. How many of you guys know that when you're in a situation where you're hoping for something, or just when you have to wait for something patiently, it's not really an area of strength? Unless you're different, but I'm just going to say, when I have to wait for something and I have to actually be patient, that's when my weakness is come out. And the next part of this verse is also the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself speaks to God for us, even begs God for us with deep feelings that words cannot explain. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you're waiting on a promise from God. Maybe you're in that place where you're weak. You're in that place where you feel completely vulnerable. Again, it says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We're in a place where we don't even know what to say. We don't even know how to respond. But the Spirit helps us in that area. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Whenever we're down, the Holy Spirit holds us up. Whenever we're holding, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Whenever we feel alone, the Holy Spirit is our friend. Whenever we're weak, the Holy Spirit is strong through us. And we can be optimistic because we are never, ever alone. When I'm weak, we get to know God in a more intimate way because that's when His strength carries us. Even on a bad day, even on the worst day that we could even ever imagine, we get to know God in a more personal way because His Spirit's strong when we're weak. We can be optimistic, not just because of what we feel, because of what God says. And God says He's strong when we're weak. Number five, God is working everything in our life for good. We can be optimistic because if we love God, He's working everything in our life for good. Romans 8:28, a famous passage of Scripture says that we know that in everything God works for the good of those who love Him. They're the people He called because that was His plan. We know that in everything. And the word everything in this passage of Scripture means that. It means everything. It means all things. It means the good things, the bad things, the mediocre things, the things you're glad that happened, the things you wish would never happen, the things that you're just driving you crazy right now. It means everything and all things. And it says for those who love Him. Listen, even when the world feels like it's crashing down, even when everything around us feels like it's completely just mayhem and we just can't control anything, what we need to do is we need to continue to love God. Just continue to seek after and love Him because God works for the good in all things for those who love Him. You could even look back. I think hindsight's 20/20. A lot of times in our lives, we can look back and we can see a situation. When we were in the middle of that situation, we felt like it was terrible, right? We felt like everything was going, it just wasn't good. We go back and we look at that and we think, man, I can't believe how great God was throughout that situation. I can't believe His faithfulness. When we're in the middle of it, we don't see it. But God still works for the good for those who love Him. Sometimes we don't feel Him, right? Sometimes we don't see Him. Sometimes we don't even think He's working, but faith says that He's there. Faith says that He can trust us, that we can trust Him. Faith says that He's there from the beginning to the end of it. Faith says that before tomorrow even starts, God is already there and He's doing amazing things in and through that situation to work the good for us. We can be optimistic because God is amazing and He's working in all things to bring the good for those that love Him. And number six, if God is for us, then no one can defeat us. Another passage says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? But if God is for us, no one can defeat us. Romans 8:31 and 33 says this exactly. It says, so what should we say about this? If God is for us, no one can defeat us. Who can accuse the people God has chosen? No one, because God is the one who makes them right. Who can defeat us? Who can be against us, right? This is like just a battle cry right here. This is saying that we've got this because of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? If you think through this, some of you are probably thinking like, dude, I know some people who are against me. I know some people who are trying to get in my way. I know some people who are trying to defeat me. And the truth is, yes, people will criticize you. People will probably not like you all the time. People may take shots at you. But if it's because of your righteousness, it's because you're chasing after God, God is for you and you will not be defeated. If God approves of us, what does it really matter? We talked about this last week. We said if you're a Christ-centered home, you will be persecuted. But God's got your back. All those things don't really matter, right? The victory has already been won. And this is the mindset that we need to have. If we have this mindset, then we know that we can be optimistic. If God's called us to do it, He's going to make a way. If God is for us, no one can defeat us. And then number seven, Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for us. Think about that for a second. Jesus is praying for us. And I don't know about you, but it always feels good when someone says they're praying for you, right? Like it's just like a high five, basically. Like someone's, hey, I'm praying for you. You're like, all right, cool. Then it goes like to the next level when they actually pray for you, because sometimes people say they're praying for you, and let's be honest, they don't pray for you. But then it goes to the next level when they do actually pray for you. Maybe they send you a text message. Maybe they even, like, if you're on the phone call with them and they actually take the time to pray with you right there. Maybe you're in a face-to-face conversation, they pray with you. Man, that even takes it to the next level. It feels good, right? I would challenge you to be that kind of person, by the way. Instead of just saying, I'm going to pray for you, take the time and either just pray for them right there. But it takes it to the next level. And then it goes to another level when, like, someone who's praying for us is someone we respect, like, we know that they're a prayer warrior, like, we know that they can pray, right? For me, that person in my life is my mom. Like, when she says she's going to pray for you, like, you know something's going to happen, because when my mom prays, like, things just happen. What's crazy is she doesn't even say words hardly when she prays, but she has this fast track to God. And listen, Jesus is better than my mom. That should be a t-shirt, I think, but Jesus is better than my mom, right? And if He's praying for us, then we can be optimistic. Romans 8:34 says, who can say God's people are guilty? No one, because Christ Jesus died, but He also raised from the dead, and now he's on God's right side, appealing to God for us. He's appealing for us. Another translation says He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's in deep prayer at the right hand of God the Father. Like, talk about a fast track to God, right? He's right next to him. He has his ear. He has his attention. And Jesus knows exactly what we're going through because he came and lived on earth. He lived a human life, so he's praying for you. That's how we can be different. That's how we can think different. And that's how we can be optimistic, because if Jesus is sitting at the right hand praying for us, man, what do we have to worry about? We can be optimistic because of that. Number eight, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let that sink in for a little bit. There's nothing in the world that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 38 and 39, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, says, yes, I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor ruling spirits, nothing now, nothing in the future, no powers, nothing above us, nothing below us, nor anything else in the whole world will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter where you go, God is there. No matter what you do, no matter what you've done, God still loves you. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happened to you in your life, God is still for you. You can't outrun his love. You can't do something to stop him from loving you. You can't run away from his presence. He's going to chase you down. We can be optimistic because there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We're not optimistic based on what we'll feel. We're optimistic based on what God says. We're optimistic because there's freedom in Jesus. We're optimistic because our minds are filled with the peace and life of God. We're optimistic because our future victory is greater than our present pain. We're optimistic because God's Spirit helps us in our weakness. He's working for the good in all our lives. We're optimistic because if God is for us, then no one can defeat us. We're optimistic because Jesus is praying for us, and we're optimistic because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yeah, there's still some negative things around, right? But we're still optimistic, not because of what we feel, but because of what God says, because of who God is, and because of who God says we are. Let's be optimistic in our lives, and let's think differently. I want to end just by praying for you. So what I want to do is I want to actually, if you're here today and maybe you thought negative, maybe you have some negative thoughts, maybe that you've been plagued by negative thoughts, like it just rules your world. Every day you wake up and you're like, oh my goodness, another day. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you can become optimistic. So what I'm going to do, we'll do the old heads bowed, eyes closed type of thing. That way nobody's looking around. But if that's you, just raise your hand with everybody's heads bowed, eyes closed. Raise your hand if you want to think more optimistic, and I want to pray specifically for you. So with everybody's hands raised, or eyes closed, heads bowed, raise your hand if you want to be optimistic. All right. Cool, all over this room, right? All over this room. Let me just pray for you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you will be with us today, God. I pray for those specifically that are raising their hands right now, that may be listening to lies, that may be listening to the lies of the enemy, of these negative thoughts, and it's letting them really ruin their lives because the spirit of your spirit is not ruling them. God, right now I pray that your spirit will rule over them. God, I pray that you will change their hearts, God. God, I pray that you will just do an incredible work in their lives. God, whatever they're going through right now, whatever negativity that they're listening to, God, I pray that it stops in the name of Jesus and it'll be changed. God, set them free and set their minds free so that they can think differently and they can think the way that you want them to think and they can think optimistic. God, I pray for that right now, God. In your son's name, God, I pray for that. God, I pray for everybody else here too. Maybe, God, I pray that you would just put a protection around those that didn't raise their hand so that they can continue to think optimistic and they can continue to think that the way that you want them so that they can walk in the freedom that only you can give. God, we love you and we thank you for your power. God, we love you and thank you for who you are. And in Jesus' name, we pray.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.